Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Last night we touched on a subject briefly that we're going to cover in depth tonight, and that's the thing about Roy Fritz and NTS, Trust Educational Services, Fountainhead Global Trust, and all of that kind of stuff. And what you're going to find out tonight is going to be the truth, and all these rumors that are floating around, you can throw them out the window. They're not true. Not true at all. What is happening has nothing whatsoever to do with National Trust Services or Trust Educational Services or any of the people involved with those two organizations or their trustees. Has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with your trust. If you purchase a trust from National Trust Services or Trust Educational Services, has nothing to do with you whatsoever. The whole thing revolves around an organization known as Fountainhead Global Trust, a scheme to invest money in a cash for titles program in which you're told that you're going to get 48% return on your money. Now, I remember a long time ago, people used to call this broadcast and ask me what I thought about Roy Fritz. And I told them that I didn't know Roy Fritz. It didn't matter what I thought about Roy Fritz, that I didn't personally trust him or his story or claimed background, but National Trust Services and the trusts that you could get through that organization were the best that there is. And I mean that. And I stand behind that 100% tonight, always will. Harvest Trust is a trust purchased from National Trust Services. So is Independence Trust. So is Independence Foundation Trust and Blue Steel Trust and Motor Trust and a whole bunch of trusts that we have. And the organization has never failed us in their promises, in their contract with us, and the trust has never failed us. So what you're going to learn tonight is what really happened, what this really involves, who is the guilty culprit, and you know, what's really happening. And you also, a lot of you called me a long time ago asking me about an investment, an offshore investment that was available for the trustees of the trusts formed under National Trust Services. And I told you, and it's on tape. I listened to the original tape today. It's on tape. Not only in that tape, but several tapes. I mean, people called in and asked me about this several times on different broadcasts. And I always gave them the same answer. If you want to invest your money, you sit down and figure out an investment scheme and you invest your money. But don't ever listen to anyone else about what to do with your money. I've always told you that. I've always told you, read everything, listen to everybody, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. I have never recommended to any of you ever any investment other than gold or silver coins. I stand behind that. Gold and silver is the best investment you could ever make, especially in coins. I do not recommend bullion. Any other investments, especially where people claim that you're going to make an abnormal high rate of return, I have always advised you against, told you don't do it. But it's up to you. You know, you're the person. It's your money. If you want to do it, that's your business. If you're asking me my opinion, don't do it. So if you went and took your money and put it into this thing on somebody else's recommendation, regardless of what they told you, or regardless of what you checked out, or anything else, you are the person who is ultimately and finally responsible for your actions in risking your money in that investment, especially since it was not protected by the laws governing the SEC. And you should know that. What governed what you did was greed. You did it for greed. Any investment can result in the total loss of all money invested. You all should know that. Now, I'm not saying that what happened was right, because the money was stolen, basically, and I don't know if you would have got that rate of return or not. Now, I'm going to welcome our special guest tonight, who's going to tell us just exactly what he knows about what has transpired in this thing. And remember, it concerns only Fountainhead Global Trust. It has nothing to do with National Trust Services or Trust Educational Services or any trust that anybody purchased from these services or that you have in operation right now. Good evening.
How's it going?
Welcome, Bill. Welcome to the Hour of the Time.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Oh, well, it could be better.
Well, I understand why you would say that. Why don't you tell our audience, you know, as much as you want to about yourself, and then explain how you came to know this information, and then just go right into what the hell happened. And by the way, folks, I not only talked to this gentleman today and found out his version of what happened, but I also talked to my good lifelong friend Bob Swan, who blew the whistle on the real crooks. His son actually is the one who discovered some of the theft, took it to his father, Bob, who has been my lifelong best friend. Bob is as honest as the day is long, taught his children to be the same, and Bob blew the whistle on this whole business. And if Bob had not been an honest person, nobody would even know about any of this, period. So if you're angry at Bob Swan, you have absolutely no reason to be. Bob did the right thing, and if he hadn't have done it, no one would even know that anything wrong would have has transpired. So go ahead and you know, you don't have to reveal your whole identity in that, but give the listening audience some sense of who you are, and tell them how you came to know this information. Then tell us what happened.
Well, I'm a longtime listener of the Hour of the Time, and my name is Travis, by the way, from Texas. And I had heard, you know, on the Hour of Time about the National Trust Service had contacted Bob Swan, and ended up going into trust myself, as well as my mother. During the time of the training, they talked about having financial seminars down in the Cayman Islands, and we went down and were involved in that, just, you know, listened to what they had to say. And what's happening is National Trust Service, the players within it, also have a trust that's called Fountainhead Global Trust, Fountainhead Global being the investment arm.
Now, wait a minute. Let's explain that. That's not really true. The only people who truly were involved in Fountainhead Global Trust was, what's his name, Rick?
Yeah, it was Rick Prescott.
Rick Prescott and Roy Fritz.
Roy Fritz. Well, that's not exactly true. There was also Joe Little.
But Joe Little was fired a long time ago.
About a year ago.
And that's how the whole thing was exposed, because after Joe Little was fired, and he was never a trustee. He was an employee and had no position of responsibility. Then Roy Fritz hired Bob Swan's son, Michael Swan, to come in and function in that job.
That's correct.
It was a job. He had no position of authority. He was not a trustee. And it was through his accidentally or however it happened, seeing certain documents, that this whole scam was revealed. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
You have to understand that Roy Fritz is, of course, a trustee of National Trust Service.
Used to be.
Yeah, well, it used to be trying to be removed at this time. But, and also Rick Prescott. But Rick was only taking care of the day-to-day operations of the training for National Trust Service, for bringing in new trustees, et cetera, in their program. Roy Fritz, on the other hand, and by the way, this is all as discussed in a meeting that we had.
Yeah, explain about the meeting first so that people will know where you got what you're telling us.
all this information comes from the fact that all of the investors that were involved in Fountainhead Global were sent a letter by Rick Prescott informing them of improprieties of that Roy Fritz had been involved with in using Fountainhead Global funds for private use.
And this resulted from Bob Swan bringing the proof to Rick Prescott and saying, we've got to get to the bottom of this. We've got to notify the people who have invested money into this.
That is correct. Mike Swan taking that to his father, Bob Swan, and Bob going to Rick Prescott. Rick Prescott, in turn, was taking care of his fiduciary responsibility as a trustee to inform all of the investors within Fountainhead Global that something was up. You know, nothing proven quite yet, but that monies are not going into the fund that are supposed to, and it appears that some of it's being used for private use by Roy Fritz.
Yeah, I can tell you're nervous. You're with a friend here. You know, I think you know that.
Oh yeah.
Take a real deep breath and let it out slowly, and see if you can get your nervousness just a little abated, so that you don't skip anything.
You're right.
Because I'm concerned about, you know, getting all of the information out. Nothing gets skipped. And I can hear, I can always tell when a caller is really nervous, and you really are. So take a couple of deep breaths. And
nervous only from the standpoint that revealing certain information about trustees and stuff is...
Well, you don't have to reveal the names of any of the investors.
Right,
we don't care about the trustees.
Right.
And you know, Bob and Rick and all those people, except for Roy probably, would tell you that that it's public knowledge who the trustees are. I mean, there's nothing secret about any of that.
Right. No,
never has
all
been.
For it. And,
yeah.
You know, they're known to the public.
Yeah.
But from the understanding, we were called in a meeting, which was held down in San Diego, California, which Rick Prescott had sent letters to all the investors informing them of what had been discovered. And, of course, wanted to meet everyone face-to-face, which, you know, that takes quite a lot of character to stand in front of everybody and tell them, you know, what's happening.
Sure it does.
I mean, you know, for all they knew, we'd come in there and kill them.
Yeah, and who were the people who were doing this?
The people that called the meeting...
People who called the meeting that were telling all of you investors exactly what was going on and what was happening so that you would know.
The individuals that were involved in this was Rick Prescott, which was a trustee of Fountainhead Global as well as National Trust Service. Ivan Cermak, which was a trustee of, I believe it's a fiduciary educational society, which is affiliated with National Trust Service. And he might well be a trustee of National Trust Service, but I can't verify that. Also, Bob Swan was there, and his son, Mike Swan.
Okay. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that even though he's mentioning National Trust Services and Trust Educational Services, they are not connected in any way with Fountainhead Global Trust, have nothing whatsoever to do with it, except that Rick Prescott, along with Roy Fritz, were trustees of Fountainhead Global Trust.
Well, it's a separate entity,
yeah.
But it's some of the same trustees.
Well, the only same trustees is Roy Fritz and...
Roy Fritz and
Rick
Prescott.
Rick Prescott.
That's correct, because Ivan...
Yeah,
and
also, I also want the listening audience to know that I am a trustee of many different trusts, and so are a lot of other people trustees in many of these different trusts, and they're not all the same people. And I want the listening audience to know that if one of these people who's also a trustee with me on one of these trusts turns out to be a crook, that doesn't make me a crook, nor does it imply that any of the other trusts of which I am a trustee of have anything to do with it or is guilty of any criminal or illegal activity. And that's what has to be primarily in your mind. So go ahead.
At this time... when this meeting was called, it's proof to me, having gone to it and listened to them, and of course there were probably 50 or 60 of us that had gone to it at the time, and they were, you know, Rick Prescott and Bob Swan and Ivan Cermak, all those were heavily quizzed by all of us. You can be certain of that.
Yeah.
And
took a lot of guts for them to do that.
Oh, the fact that they even showed up shows that they are trying to rectify a problem.
That they're trying to fulfill their fiduciary
responsibility
as trustees in whatever they're involved in. But Bob Swan is not a trustee of Fountainhead Global Trust, and neither is his son. Bob is involved because his son was an employee of Fountainhead Global Trust.
That's correct.
And he came to Bob with the information. Bob did some preliminary investigation and discovered that there were some serious discrepancies with funds missing from Fountainhead Global Trust. And so that's why Bob is involved. Otherwise,
the accusations that have come forth from Mike, which was passed on to Bob, is that Roy Fritz was using Fountainhead Global Investment Funds for private use. In other words, buying things like motorhomes and ATVs.
Yeah, and this is we have to remember that this is alleged by Michael Swan to his father. His father did some investigation, and his father alleges that he has discovered through investigation, and he has since hired at his own personal expense some private investigators who have also turned up the fact that that they also allege that Roy Fritz has been literally stealing funds from Fountainhead Global Trust.
That is correct.
But no one has been convicted of anything, so all of these are allegations, and everybody has to understand that.
That is right. Now, the fact that these individuals showed up in the meeting is at least to me and to many of the other investors not necessarily proof, but at least that that we can believe a lot of the statements that they're making, and that they are indeed trying to rectify what's a bad situation and trying to fulfill their duties. Now, the trust itself is a valid instrument. There's nothing wrong with any of the trust that National Trust Service sold.
No, and there's nothing wrong with Fountainhead Global Trust either. There is something wrong with one of the trustees who turns out to be alleged to have been siphoning off funds and stealing money from the trust.
Yeah. Now there were, of course, trustees at this meeting. Everyone that showed up is obviously,
they're trustees. They're trustees of their own trust.
Yeah, they're trustees of their own trust that had been purchased through National Trust Service.
Sure.
Okay, and because National Trust Service trustees were the only one that were allowed to come into the Fountainhead Global.
Yeah, but you have to understand, making an offer available to a certain restricted group does not imply guilt on the behalf of the organization that offered that opportunity. It was offered as an opportunity, and it was never, ever told to anybody that their funds were going to be safe, or that they should put their money into this, or anything else.
That's correct. I mean, all investments have some risk.
Absolutely.
And none of us are contesting that issue.
Well, I don't believe that. I think some people are. Some people are not willing to take the personal responsibility of understanding that when they put their money into an unprotected investment opportunity that was not protected under the laws or the SEC or the laws of any other country, for that matter. It was a private offering that they were acting in some kind of really responsible manner. In fact, they were operating probably from a total position of, wow, this really looks neat, and I trust these people, and I'm going to make a whole lot of money, and that's probably why they did it, without really doing what I've advised all these years: listen to everybody, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it.
Well, the thing is that we did look into what their claims were as to what they were investing in.
Well, what you did was talk to other people who claimed that they had received all this kind of money.
Not just that, just the actual company that they were investing in. Some of us talked to that the company itself. And
but how do you know that it's a legitimate company? That's what I'm trying to get to here. How do you know this whole thing was legitimate, or that what they said happened was really true? I mean, it wasn't covered by any laws of disclosure. They could have told you anything.
Yeah, well, that is a fact. What you're saying is true. And
but what really happened is you guys believed, just blindly believed him. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not trying to make any of you look silly or anything. I just want to get to the truth without making anybody who may be innocent in this thing.
As a matter of fact,
look
that's
back.
One of the things they touted about going down for seminars down in the Cayman Island about the financial investments and stuff, Jeff, was a lot of things are available to trustees that invest through the Cayman Islands in these type of investments that are not subject to SEC.
So they told you that right up front?
They told us that right up front, correct.
Did they tell you up front that the investment wasn't secure and you could stand a chance to lose your money?
No, they never said anything.
They never said anything like that?
Nope.
Well, you see, if it had been SEC approved, they would have had to tell you.
They would
you
have
that.
Had to, exactly.
Yeah, because that's the truth about any investment. And anybody who ever invests any money knows that. There's no investment that's safe.
Well,
ever.
Yeah, even brokerage houses that you invest in this country, I mean, there's nothing to prevent an employee within the company from embezzling funds and running off with them.
That's true.
You know, other than go after them legally. And
yeah. Well, go ahead and continue your story. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, and I'm not implying anything bad about you or anybody else. I just want to make sure that we're talking real truth here and not any, we're not slanting it in any direction toward anyone or away from anyone, that only the truth is coming out.
Well, the company apparently does indeed exist because the SEC has come in and seized, not so much seized funds, but froze.
Well, instead of jumping up to there, why don't you go back to where you left off and then go up to that point, and and then you can talk about that.
So anyway, this meeting that we had, they informed us of the discovery of what Mike Swan had discovered and passed on to Bob, and then, of course, Rick Prescott felt like his honor was at stake, that he had to prove that he wasn't a thief, that he wasn't stealing funds.
Here's what Bob told me.
Okay.
Remember, I've known Bob all my life. He's the most honest person that you could imagine. And you have to take my word for that, and you shouldn't. But I'm telling you that that's been my experience. Bob told me that when he informed Rick Prescott of what he had discovered from his son's original discovery and his own investigation, that Rick Prescott literally turned white as a sheet and almost fainted on the spot. He just couldn't believe it. And he was just absolutely destroyed. Bob told me that Rick was just destroyed. Yep. Literally, before his eyes, was destroyed.
Rick sincerely believed in helping people and putting them in trust, and that's what his sole goal was to help America.
Yeah,
help as many people as possible, and then to find this out, I'm sure he was completely felt let down.
To say the least. But go ahead.
So anyway, during this meeting, you know, it was discussed all the problems that had been discovered, and of course, that they had gone forward and had tried to go to Roy Fritz and get his statements as to what's going on here, and called for an audit. And they allege, or stated that Roy Fritz refused to agree to an audit, which right off the bat would flag it to me that he's trying to hide something.
Yeah, I can assure you right now that an audit has been performed already.
Yes, that's what they've told us. We've yet to see any of the results of it.
Well, they can't because there's criminal action pending, and there are some things that they cannot reveal in order to make sure that the criminals aren't able to change any of this stuff.
Right.
And that's what I talked to about with Bob about today. And believe me, Roy Fritz is going down if he's guilty of all of this, because I can tell you right now that the FBI is already involved.
Oh, that's good. There's several of us that we're planning to call.
Well, you should. And you should go of your own volition to the FBI and tell them what you know.
This would be one of the few things.
You see, for all of you who think Bob Swan is a crook, Bob Swan is already doing that. So So, you know, Bob is not a crook, never has been, never will be. Bob revealed this whole thing.
Having been involved in this, having gone out there to the meetings, and these individuals show up and tell us face-to-face what's going on, that proves to me that they're not guilty parties. They're the ones trying to call for an audit. They're the ones trying to rectify this, are telling us that this has happened.
Yeah.
And of course, they know, you know, that this is going to reflect on them for many years to come.
Well, sure it is. And whether or not they're guilty. Because even before anybody even knows what in the world happened or what this is all about, I've been getting hundreds of emails attacking Bob Swan, attacking even me. And I never even heard of Fountainhead Global Trust in my entire life.
Yeah,
have absolutely nothing to do with it. And I've never recommended Roy Fritz to anyone. In fact, if you talk to Bob Swan, you'll find out that I told Bob years ago that I didn't trust Roy Fritz, didn't believe his old story about being a member of the Mellon family, and I thought he was full of crap.
Well,
and in fact, the last time Bob was here and did a radio show, right here, he was so off on some of the law that he was quoting that he had learned from Roy Fritz that we actually had a fight. And you can talk to Doyle about this. Bob and I actually got into a heated argument where Bob actually got angry with me because he believed that I was wrong and Roy Fritz was right, because Roy Fritz had filled his head with all of this crap that Bob had. You see, the only thing Bob is guilty of is being gullible.
Well, you know,
he believed in this, in Roy Fritz.
One of the things that you continually harp upon and teach is believe no one, trust no one, read everything and study it for yourself.
Yeah.
Now, when I went through the seminars that National Trust Service gave, they produce a document that's a contract, you know, for a trust.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And it's one of the best that there is. In fact,
yeah,
most of the people who sell trusts have copied it.
Yeah, I've looked at several, and it is a very good document. And it's a perfectly valid document.
Yeah.
In every way.
Nothing whatsoever wrong with that trust.
But during all those seminars, I had a bad feeling about Roy Fritz.
Well, I always did.
Because he would come in and tell stories that just didn't even fly in the face of common sense.
Yeah, I always did, too.
And right off the bat, I thought, this man's going to get some people in trouble with some of the things he's saying if they don't really know what the law says.
I thought the same thing, and I told that to Bob Swan. But I knew that the trust was good. I knew that NTS was good. I knew that NTS never reneged on what they promised anybody, and that it, for the money, it was the best value going, being that the trust documents were the most solid, complete, best trust documents that I'd ever seen. And in light of that, you couldn't go wrong with it. Even if the whole organization fell down around, you would still have your trust, and there's nothing whatsoever wrong with that trust.
That's exactly the true. But I did go and study what was in the law myself. I did do a lot of checking, further research.
Yeah, like I always do, and you found out that some of the things that they were teaching was wrong, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't so much what they were teaching as it was statements that Roy would make that would, like, that's, you know, you don't really need to do that. You can just do this. And at the time, I thought, now this is going to get some people in trouble because they're not going to actually go through, do their filings right with under 1041 laws.
Well, you know what? That's neither here nor there, because the income tax doesn't apply to these trusts anyway.
Well,
using the IRS as an argument for anything in my book is totally bogus, because the IRS has no authority to directly tax the citizens or any contractual organization or legal person that citizens contract constitutionally within their states.
Well, that's true, but one of the things National Trust Service is indicating is to basically follow the rules that are in the 1041 law.
Yeah, and Bob and I had a lot of arguments about that. My recommendation was to Bob to say this: listen, if you really want to go by the law, then the IRS has nothing to do with you or your trust. If you're afraid of the IRS and you want to conform to their rules and regulations, then this is what you've got to do. And then he and I would have some other arguments about what it was that you should do if you're going to conform to their regulations. And all of his arguments came directly from Roy Fritz. And Bob believed so much in Roy Fritz because he bought his whole story. Bob was gullible. Bob believed Roy Fritz. He believed in him. He believed in the mission that Roy Fritz said that he was out to accomplish, which was to help the common man escape the tyranny of government and the IRS and all of these other things. And so Bob, you know, really parroted these things. And like I said before, if Bob Swan was ever guilty of anything, it was being gullible. Bob had a pure heart. He cared about every person he dealt with. He cared about what he was doing. He was involved in this whole thing because he believed in it wholeheartedly. And the portion that he was involved in has absolutely nothing to do with what eventually happened. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with any of the trusts or with National Trust Services or Trust Educational Services.
All the problems are really related more to what I call a gross mismanagement problem
of an investment trustees. Of an investment fund.
Correct.
And the trustees were only Rick
and Roy Fritz.
And Roy Fritz.
That's correct.
And nobody else is responsible for that because nobody else had either a trustee or a fiduciary or management position with Fountainhead Global Trust.
That's true.
Rick so believed in Roy Fritz that Rick allowed Roy Fritz to handle all the financial responsibilities, and he handled all the administrative responsibilities. And well, if you could hear Bob Swan's, if you could talk to Bob Swan and hear his description of what happened to Rick when he told him what he had discovered, you'd know that there's one of two possibilities. Either Rick is 100% guilty in partnership with Roy Fritz and had realized immediately that he was found out, or he was a total dupe, didn't know anything about what was happening financially, was actually really doing just the administrative stuff, and was just absolutely, totally destroyed by that revelation and just turned white as a sheet and just almost fainted. I mean, just literally disintegrated before Bob's eyes is the way Bob described it to me.
Well, from the meeting we were involved, I'd say the second scenario is the truth. But the thing that bothered me about it all was that here the very thing that National Trust Service is teaching about fiduciary responsibility and where you have two trustees that sign for things and each you have a check and a balance. In other words, the two are watching over each other, and of course,
yeah,
if you have a third.
I'm not trying to absolve Rick of responsibility. I was just saying what I know.
What I'm getting at is that the responsibility goes to him, not to Bob Swan.
Yeah.
In other words, Rick should have been paying attention to what was going on.
He should have been, and he should not.
He believed in this man, and there was no check or balance to prevent what Roy Fritz was doing. He just had a rubber stamp to go do whatever he wanted.
And therefore, there was a breach of fiduciary responsibility.
Absolutely.
And he was not actually fulfilling his function as a trustee because he was allowing one trustee to just handle all the money, and then he was handling all the administration, when in fact he should have known exactly what was going on with all of the money. And Roy Fritz should have understood what was going
on for all of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, as a trustee.
Yeah, you see, this is how we got to the position. This is what you all, everybody, all across the world, not just in America, you have to understand. This is how we got to this position in time, is in trusting other people. That's what makes a con man successful. He's able to convince you that he is trustworthy, that he would never hurt you, that it's okay to let him have whatever it is that he wants, even if it's everything you've ever made in your whole life, including your house and all your clothes and all your money and your car and everything else, and you sign it all over to him. And then he vanishes with all of that, and you're left there standing in the street, homeless, wondering, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You were stupid! Stupid!
The same thing is happening, though, with major firms, brokerage houses.
That's because today is a nation of sheeple, cowardly sheeple, who do not take responsibility, who do not check anything out.
Well, I think it's more of a lack of education.
Who are not, well, that's what I'm talking about. They don't check anything out.
Yeah.
They don't look at anything. They don't ask any questions.
Well,
they are taught to trust, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
And when you trust someone, what happens usually?
Oh, you get the word. I don't want to say on the air.
You get screwed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what happens if you've known somebody all your life? You went to high school with them, and you trust them absolutely completely.
You get burnt.
You get screwed.
Yep.
You see, most people are greedy, and they will eventually screw you. There's just a small number of people that you can really count as your friends, that you can really trust, and that's only determined after you've known them and trusted them and understand them, and they've understand you and dealt with you and all these things over many, many, many years. You can't meet somebody and know them 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years and say that they're your good friends and trust them and they're not going to hurt you, because that's bullshit.
Well, you know, I heard a good statement not too long back that one of the reasons we have so many government agencies now is just because of people like this that cause an outcry for more regulatory agencies, which then start invading all our privacy. But yet it's the very people themselves that are causing this.
That's true. And not only that, but the Constitution defines what the government can do, not the outcry of the people.
Well, no, I understand that. I've studied it many years. I know all about that. But the problem is everyone else doesn't.
No, they don't, and that's
for all these people.
That's why the government is able to get away with things under the color of law, is because the American people don't know what the true law is, and what's color of law, and what's real law, and what's a scam, and what's the truth, and when they're getting screwed, and when they're not.
And then the hell of it all is, even when you do know the law, and you try to tell everyone, or you try to exercise it, nobody will listen to you.
Well, that's because of all of the foregoing over the number of years. The judicial system knows they can get away with murder simply because they have the vast number of the sheeple behind them. You see, it's all about, in this kind of system of government, it's about the numbers of people that support what's happening. And if they support something that's totally unlawful, illegal, that's wrong, then they're going to get away with it, simply because the majority of the people support it. And you have no political support behind you. You have nobody protesting on your behalf. And therefore, you're going to go down, even though you're right. And that's when the stipulations that the Founding Fathers put into effect to protect us from tyranny come into effect. That's why what I'm doing works for me. I live in an area that's a patriot area. I live in an area where there's many militia members. I live in an area, if the United States government comes in here to get me, they can't just send a few United States marshals. They can't just send a SWAT team from the FBI. They're going to have to send an army, because when they get here, they're going to be met with an army. And they know that. You see, I'm up here by myself. They know that. Yet they haven't got the balls to come and affect my arrest, even though they have an arrest warrant.
Well, the fact is, they have no jurisdiction anyway.
They have no jurisdiction. They know that. They know that the points in law that I've set out in newspapers and on the Internet are correct. They've defaulted in my challenge for them to respond to that. Therefore, they have no standing in any court. And if they come here to try to erroneously, unlawfully, and unconstitutionally arrest me, they're going to be met by an army.
Well, I'm
and they don't want that to happen, because then they're going to have to admit to the American public and the world that there is a vast segment of this population that does not support their tyranny. And that is an admission that they would be just absolutely committing political suicide to have to admit. And
well,
if they come here, that's exactly what they're going to have to admit.
I'm amazed that they even issued the warrant. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be in their favor to even stir it up. up, and let's say you...
Oh, but it is, you see, because their experience with everybody else has been that everybody's a bunch of cowards. As soon as you issue warrants, people are willing to say, okay, come on, we'll make a deal. And the only reason they issued a warrant for me and my wife was they figured that they could make a deal that, you know, if I agreed to do certain services for them, they would drop the warrant against my wife. And after 2 or 3 years of me committing this service, squealing on the militia, squealing on all the people that I've dealt with, squealing on the people who've trusted me, then they would drop the charges against me and I could go about my business. And they never, ever in their experience met anyone like me, not anyone. Except David Koresh, who was willing to stand up to them and say, no, screw you. The only way you're going to get to me is kill me. Period.
With your knowledge of the law, I don't see how they'd even prevail in court, short of just totally ignoring it.
It doesn't matter because I can't go into their court because their court has no jurisdiction. If I go into their court, I give them jurisdiction and give up my rights. Do you understand that?
Well, you know, when several armed guys come and arrest you, at that point, it doesn't matter that they don't have jurisdiction. You can't
it does because they will never arrest me. You see, I will die because, listen to me, remember the previous conversation we had?
Right.
They will not arrest me. They will not take me into their bogus court in their bogus jurisdiction. I will die in defense of my rights first. The only way they will ever get me is they will have to kill me. Period. And then, this is something that you nor anyone else listening really understands, then I will be more free than anyone on this earth has ever been except those set free from this body by having been killed before.
Now,
I will be free.
But wouldn't it perhaps serve a better cause if...
No, the cause will...
If they came and arrested you to fight a court battle... That could go
You're not listening to me. They have no jurisdiction.
I understand that, and that's something you can bring up.
No, it's not something I can bring up. If I walk into their court and make a plea, I am giving them jurisdiction. You don't understand that.
Well, you wouldn't be walking in. You'd be drug in against your will.
It doesn't matter to them.
No, I understand that, but at least you could argue that...
No, I can't argue it because they would not allow me to argue it, just like they did with the Freeman. The Freeman were drug into court against their will.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to them. They were right. The federal government had no jurisdiction whatsoever.
Well?
And they're all in prison.
Yeah.
That will not happen to me. I will die in defense of my principles and ideals and beliefs before I will submit to their tyranny, enslavement, or imprisonment. And a lot of people may think that's wrong, but it's not wrong at all.
Well,
it's the only right thing to do.
Past experience dictates that probably what you're saying is true.
I know absolutely it's true. And when every American adopts that philosophy, we will be free of them because they will have no power over us anymore.
Right.
At that moment, this government will be dissolved, and they will have to reinstitute constitutional Republican government, or they will have no power in this country.
Well, that's a decision that I've yet to come to, but...
Well, of course.
But I've certainly studied the issues, and I agree with you.
Well, if you agree with me, then come to that decision, stand up, take the stance I've taken. Because until every American, or at least the majority of Americans, does that, they're going to be enslaved.
It's a process. It takes years of study and to finally come to the...
We don't have years. We have a very short period of time.
Well, yeah, but...
It's almost over.
It took you a lot of years to get to that point, right?
And no, it didn't. Once I discovered what was going on, I was at that point immediately. Immediately.
Right.
It just took me a lot of years to become famous and be a radio personality and all that kind of stuff to where people began listening to me. That took years. But to reach the point where I was willing to die for what I believe in was instantaneous. Listen to me. My God, man. Can you understand this? My government sent me to Vietnam to fight and die in a war in which I had nothing to do with?
Oh.
And I was willing to do that, yet Americans are not willing to stand up in their own country and die for what they believe in and die for their country right here, right here. But yet the same parents who aren't willing to do that patted their sons and daughters on their ass, sent them off to fight and die in Vietnam, sent them off to fight and die in Panama, sent them off to fight and die in Grenada, sent them off to fight and die in what they call Desert Storm, sent them off to fight and die in Yugoslavia. But yet those same people who sent their sons and daughters off to fight and die in these foreign countries for something that has nothing to do with the Constitution or our freedom or patriotism hung flags out on their porches, claimed to be patriots, were very proud that their sons and daughters were sent off to die, and those same people are not willing to die to save this country on their own ground, in their own land, at this very time, right now, today. They're liars and hypocrites and assholes. And that's the truth.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm of an age where I never was subject to the draft. And not that I was ever subject anyway, but the... So I came at a time that never understood any of it.
Do you have a son?
Why we're going to other countries?
Do you have a son?
Wars.
Do you have a son or daughter?
No, I'm not married.
Well, if you were and you had a son and the government sent them off to fight in a foreign country, what would you do?
I wouldn't allow it.
What would you do to stop it?
I'd have them move to another country. You know, leave this country before I'd send them to war.
What if they said, "You're full of crap, Dad. I think I should be serving my country."
Well, that's his decision.
Really?
Yeah, but I can certainly give him all the facts or what
I'd cold cock the son of a bitch, tie him up, and throw him in the bedroom until it was all over. That's what I would do.
Well, you know, when you get to a certain age, a man has to make his own decision, but it's you certainly would try to enlighten them and give them all the facts.
I'd do more than that. I'd lay everything on the line to save my child. You see, I learned a lot in my life,
yeah.
And the children don't learn it for a long time. And the child might hate me at that time, but at some point in the future, they would look back and say, geez, I'm glad I had that father.
I don't understand why anybody goes and ever joins the military.
Oh, I do, because I did it. I understand perfectly why they do it.
You know, if it was something that truly was for the protection of this country, that'd be one thing. But when you're going to other foreign lands, I don't believe it.
Name me one thing we've ever done since the War of 1812 that was done to protect this country.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
you're absolutely
nothing.
Right.
Each world war was a staged war.
You're absolutely right. We had nothing to do with, and none of those participants in any of those wars could have ever threatened us or reached our shores or even done anything to conquer this country. They didn't even have the capability to put enough troops on ships to even affect a landing on either coast.
Well, it was ludicrous to think that any army could invade our shores anyway with all the armed citizenry.
George Washington said it best. He said, this country can never, ever... Well, it wasn't George Washington. I take that back. It wasn't George Washington at all. It was somebody else. I can't remember their name right off the top of my head, but I will have it for you tomorrow. He said that this country cannot ever be invaded and destroyed from without. If we're ever to be destroyed, it will be from within.
Within. That's a fact.
It's the truth. No greater truth has ever been spoken. There's no enemy without that can destroy this country or conquer it or exert its will over it. No matter how powerful they are, no matter what kind of bombs they have, nothing. They can't do it. It's impossible.
Yep. But anyway, back to the National Trust Service and what we're really talking about.
Okay.
Being a trustee myself, having operated a trust for many years, I certainly do not see any problem with the trusts. Matter of fact, it's an excellent way to basically protect your assets and avoid all sorts of liability issues.
And divide up your assets so that they're not concentrated in one place.
Exactly. You put them in multiple trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly nothing wrong with it. I mean, let's face it, it's contracts that have been used for centuries
in some form or fashion. And the trust or trusts can be moved to any country at any time.
They're considered legal in any.
That's right.
Virtually any country.
Yeah.
But it separates the ownership and liability from you as an individual, you know, into the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do have a problem with a rogue government agency, say like the IRS, then you don't have anything in your name.
That's right.
And so it's a good method of protection before you start, I think, exerting your rights. You know, it's wise to protect yourself up front as best as you can. But certainly I see no problem with the National Trust Service, and which is now Trust Educational Service is what they've changed their name to.
No, there is no problem.
However, the investment scheme is definitely a fraud from, I think, day one.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's not true. No one has proven that.
I don't know anything
about the investment scheme, except that it's called Fountainhead Global Trust, and it is a place where you invest your money, and you're supposed to get a certain return back after a certain period of time, between a certain minimum return and a certain maximum return. All I know about it is that a lot of people have invested money into it, and Roy Fritz has apparently been stealing money out of it.
Yeah, it's...
I would not...
My impression, and I could be wrong...
And I'll tell you something else. Bob Swan believed in it so much that he put all of his family's assets in it, his mother-in-law's assets in it, and his grandmother's assets in it, which equaled over $1 million.
Yeah, well, I always had a funny feeling that my impression was that it potentially was a Ponzi scheme, that all of the future investors' money is coming in is what's funding the previous ones whenever they wanted to withdraw.
But you put your money into it.
Yeah.
If you had that kind of suspicion, why did you put your money into it?
Oh, it's,
this
it's,
is what I don't understand.
It's like all things. You know, you can get a large return in a short period of time, and if you pull all your principal and a certain amount of your interest out...
So you thought you would be one of the ones who would get out before the whole thing came tumbling down?
If it was a fraud, yeah.
So then you were part of the fraud?
Apparently so.
Well, if you believed that, then you were consciously participating
in what you believed
was a fraud, and you thought if you could pull your money out in time, then other people might get hurt, but you wouldn't.
Well, I wasn't certain of that. From what I had studied and looked at, the investment they were putting into was a valid one. But, you know, you just have a funny feeling with somebody like the way Roy Fritz was. And I always, because he just struck me as being a con man.
Yeah, but you know, you never told me that today. And now I got a funny feeling about you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why would you do something like that? If you thought that it really was some kind of Ponzi scheme,
and
you thought that you could get your money in and be one of the first investors and be able to pull your money out and knowing in your mind that other people weren't going to get paid off and would lose their life savings.
Let me qualify it in the following manner. I didn't believe that in the beginning, but later, I guess what caused me to start believing that was when we were informed that National Trust Service had bought this expensive ranch that they had bought up in Oregon.
Yeah.
And I started wondering, oh boy, I wonder if this whole thing is a fraud and it's a Ponzi scheme. And I thought, you know, I better get my money out. But I didn't do it. And at the time, I just had a funny feeling and I thought that. And then I thought, well, no, Bob seems to be, you know, pretty upfront and so does Rick.
No, not only up front, but Bob had his whole life savings into it.
Yeah, I know. I know it.
And his mother-in-law's and his grandmother's.
Yeah. You know, I guess it's the warning signs that I saw that made me really feel later that you know, with the kind of interest rate that the return that they were had, you can't normally go get that anywhere in this country.
Oh, that should have been the greatest tip-off of all. That's what I got on to Bob about. I told Bob, I said, you're crazy for being involved in this.
Yeah, but...
He said, well, I believe in Roy Fitz, and I believe that he's doing the best for the country and all of the trustees and everything. I said, you know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But also understand...
They tell you all sorts of what apparently are lies when you go down to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, don't give me that crap, because you're not supposed to believe that shit. You're supposed to investigate before you put your money in.
Well,
don't tell me they told you a lot of lies.
Yeah, well...
If they told you a lot of lies, then you shouldn't have been putting your money into this.
I agree. I only have myself to blame. That it was greed. No doubt about it.
Then why is everybody so upset when they got took? if they understood this from the beginning, you know,
well,
I just don't understand.
Let's face it.
Not that it's right that somebody took them, but I just don't understand.
Well, let's face
you see,
it,
I've never been subject to this greed thing. It doesn't prey on me.
Yeah, everybody is. I mean, if you invest your money at all, you're investing it for a return. So, if you see some things that are paying higher returns, yeah, there's some risk in it, perhaps. And you weigh it and you think, well, okay, you know, I'll put a little bit in here and do it. But it's still, when you come to find out somebody's embezzling funds out of it, that upsets you.
Well,
truly, there was a fund.
I guess it would, yeah.
Yeah, truly, there was a fund that this was supposed to be going into that did make returns. But then when you start hearing that funds are being siphoned off, then you think, oh, well, maybe there really wasn't, and this was a Ponzi scheme all along.
Well,
you know, and that I should have realized that.
That's absolutely not true. From what I've been able to determine, it's absolutely not true. It never was. But the only crook in this whole thing is Roy Fritz. If he's a crook, he's alleged to be a crook. He's alleged to have siphoned off millions and millions of dollars from this fund. And if it had not been for that, then maybe the fund would have been totally successful. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or it would have been marginally successful, or it would have broke even, or you would have lost a little money, or a lot of money, or whatever. It was an investment, and that's what happens in investments.
But I certainly think an audit ought to show who the guilty party is.
The audit has already been done. The audit already shows who the guilty party is, but they cannot make the audit public because there are legal proceedings that are going to go forth, and they can't give the people who are responsible the opportunity to get rid of evidence. And that's all I can tell you. We're out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on here and telling what you know and talking about your involvement. It took a lot of guts. I really admire you for that. I respect you for that, and I thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
Good night, folks. God bless you all, and God bless you, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. And this is for you, Letitia. I think this is what you requested.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you, and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt.